Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Spilling the G&T Podcast. You're here with Bolo.
And Dr. Tom.
Now, we're here to give you the opinion you never really asked for.
But we're giving it anyway.
That's right.
Now, Bolo here is a performer.
And Dr. Tom's a psychiatrist. Mm. And we're here to give you our professional review on RuPaul's Drag Race
UK versus the World 2.
So let's raise a glass and start spilling.
G&T.
Clank, everyone, welcome back. We hope you had a great week. You know what this is. RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, watching it live, giving it to you straight, like Maddie.
Not that straight.
No.
No.
No, Tom, you don't... Not that we judge. Wow. Wow, Tom, the disdain.
No, I'm sorry. It's out there now.
Such
my
disdain.
Opinion is known. My disdain for the heterosexual world. What they get up to behind closed doors is none of my business.
Just don't rub it in our faces. Thank you very much.
Maybe rub it in our faces just a little bit. Just a little.
That's disgusting, Tom. Filth.
Sorry, that was actually
glamour.
Really crude. Yeah. Really sorry, guys.
Yeah,
Tom. Lowered the tone already, and I'm sober.
Yeah. Oh, and we just have unsubscribers.
Oh,
just,
no.
It's just gone right up. It's
gone right down.
Gone right up, guys. Our cancellation.
Oh gosh.
How you going? How's it going?
Good, thank you.
How is everyone? Hope you're well.
Oh, I thought you were asking
me. Doing whatever you're doing.
I thought for once in your life you're.
Are you running right now? Are you chasing someone? Are you in the gym? Are you in the car on the way to work? Are you shopping? Are you just relaxing? What are you doing?
Is it the middle of the night and you're feeding your little one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one we get surprisingly often, actually.
Or the dishes.
Yeah. Or a nice long walk. We join many people on a walk.
Or run.
Run, we do as well, yeah.
Runners are a different kind of human, in my opinion.
They're very different to me.
It's really hard.
It is.
Like, when I'm running, I can't focus on anything but dying. And I have to have music on to just distract me. But I tried listening to a podcast and running, and it just didn't work. I was too aware that I couldn't breathe.
Oh, no. I'd really like to up my cardio. I'd like to get into a bit of running.
Yeah.
My gym activities.
You say you want to up your cardio. Like, you've got... Tom, you don't do any cardio. So you'd like
That's
to start doing
fair.
Some cardio.
I walk up the stairs in the gym.
I walk to my car. And I walk from my car to my desk.
I traverse the stairs and head towards the selection of weights.
Now, everyone, we're on UK versus the World. Tom, who's winning? You know what? I ask you the question, but it's kind of very obvious.
I mean, there's
winning.
A couple of really strong clues. the queen with three badges who's been told she was born to do drag has a pretty good chance, I think. But, I mean, I love this top five. Obviously, we said goodbye to Charitha last week. Fab Queen. I didn't feel Charitha was genuinely... I mean, at the beginning, it was anybody's game. I do love Charitha May. But once we got kind of past the first few episodes and into mid-season, I didn't feel like Charitha was vying for the crown, much as I adore her. Lovely, lovely queen. But we've got a really strong top five here, I think.
We do. Mm. We do. When it comes to winning Marina. You know, when Marina walked in, she says, it's time. Well, what did she say about the colonizers?
Just screw the colonizers.
Something about
colonizers. I can't remember the exact quote.
Something about, like, slaying the colonizers.
Slay the colonizers.
And, you know, she has kept her word. She has sent home España.
She has.
She has sent home
USA.
The UK. She has sent home USA.
She's doing a pretty good job, isn't she? Well done, Marina.
She had an agenda, and she let us know from the start
she was dressed for battle, and she really took it there. But not to discount the other amazing queens in this top five, I do think it's a really strong selection, really great representatives from five different nations. I think Hannah, we always rave about Hannah, fabulous all-rounder, just one of those queens who can do it all, funny as anything. La Grande Dame, I'm really happy that she's had this platform for an international audience who may not have picked up on Drag Race France. She's had her ups and downs in the competitions, but she's got what the French call a je ne sais quoi, you know, mm-hmm. And the fashion is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Our other two queens, we've got Scott.
While we're on La Grande Dame, I do feel like she's been saved a couple of times.
Production likes La Grande Dame, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. She had such a strong start to the season.
Yeah. But she has been saved. And last week was an example of one of the times that she was saved.
Something that pops up on Reddit is tracking in growth in Instagram. I think she's had one of the biggest growths. She's really racked up a fan base, but she's very visual.
Well, yeah, exactly. Instagram is a very visual platform, and she's very visual appealing, you know, inside and outside of drag. Internally and on the outside.
It's very Chanel thing to say. And I mean, who else have we got? We've got Scarlett Envy. I've always had a soft spot for Scarlett Envy. I've seen her on two previous seasons where I feel like she's been hard done by. It's nice to see her approaching the end game of a season. And Tia Coffey, what a kind of step up in terms of polish and confidence. She's always a fan favourite on UK 2, which is such a strong season.
She's a fan favourite. She's lovely. She is so charismatic. Mm-hmm. She's such a great vibe, and yeah, we love her. She has a strong personality. I think the question with Tia, and you know, amongst a lot of viewers, and you know, it has come into my thoughts, is I think that she is getting up. She has had a little bit of a nudge.
We've said it.
Her uncle has come out of retirement and is back on production, and he is helping her get through the season like he did in her original season.
On her original season, when was there a time she should have gone home when she did?
Tom,
the lip sync against Astina Mandela, actually.
Tom, yeah, first, don't ask me to recall significant moments like this. I can tell you that I remember podcasting going, she has an uncle on production who is giving up annual leave. He was sacrificing annual leave and saying, no, look, I won't take my annual leave if you give my niece one more week on the show.
My lovely Tia.
Yeah. You know what? Cancel my bonus this year if she gets one more week. I remember thinking that.
One of the things I love about you is your ability to provide a strong opinion without any facts to back it up.
My feelings are facts.
Your feelings are facts. Your feelings are facts. Thank you. One of the few, it's a really, really great piece of entertainment, but I did, after the fact, obviously watch Bob and Thorgy's recaps of UK 2 because they just got such amazing chemistry, and Thorgy thought very much what you do. She actually described her as snaking through.
She's a snake.
She's a little snake snaking her way through.
Tom, it was a very strong opinion throughout her season, and I think it's a strong one now. As you all know, we don't watch reviews. Mm-hmm. We don't watch reviews about people
not
talking
contemporaneously.
About,
yeah. We sometimes watch them in retrospect.
But also, I'm on Twitter, so when I like post things, I see comments, and it's like,
I see
she's getting a push. She's a pusher, Katie. She's a pusher.
What I don't want is production's love for Tia to overshadow her deserved progress. But we've said it a couple of times. She's had some top placements that we question a little. But there we go. This is our top five, and they are a fab selection of queens.
Yeah. Absolutely. On the topic of... It's a bad segue, Tom. I don't have your flow.
No,
but I did want to say that I did get a lovely email from Richard from Mississippi.
Oh yes,
An email. It wasn't a review, so we're not going to read it out. But it was. Yeah. I just want you to say that you are heard.
Yes,
and although I won't talk about the details of the email.
You make it sound like it was really illicit.
Yeah. It was basically saying that I should go solo.
Uh-huh, that was the vibe.
And that I am the star, the star that I'm meant to be.
No, the star that you knew you were.
Yeah, the star that I knew I was. Yeah. And that also, I was born to do podcasting.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I'm just saying it verbatim. I just, you know, I'm sorry for outing you, Richard, from Mississippi. No, it was a lovely, email. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was very, very, obviously we're not going to read it out because it's not like a review that's in the public domain, but it was just a very, very lovely email. We really appreciate it. So thank you very much, Richard.
We accept all forms of communications. Venmo is one of them.
We don't have a Venmo or a Cash App.
PayPal is up there. Amazon wish list, you know, you name it. We accept every communication that you got.
We don't have that. We're aloof.
Okay, the girls have just come in from the Maxi stage. Mm-hmm. was in the first part, and I'm just reminded about the dance challenge last week, and I'm thinking, oh, La Grande Dame, you got lucky. Tia, also, you got lucky. Sharitha and Scarlett should not have been anywhere near the bottom. And it was just, last week was just shenanigans, lies. And I wasn't here for it.
Tom. Overall, what the Queens produced, I thought was very entertaining. Very entertaining, but the judging was a bit dodge.
It was absolutely there. So, shock and horror. What do you think about Hannah having Scarlett's lipstick?
Well, she did agonize over it a lot last week. Usually, that is for production. Production obviously ask them. Did you actually hear that on UK versus the World 1? Jimbo said that originally when she was talking to Lemon, it was a very brief conversation, and she was like, you're my sister from Canada, of course I'm not going to send you home, don't worry about it. And then production was like, Jimbo, would you mind just kind of turning it into a bit of back and forth, and like, ooh, what would happen if I sent you home, and agonize over it a little bit? And she's like, okay, cool. And then like filmed a segment. So,
all right, let's go.
Yeah. So sometimes it's for that. Her reasoning was she kept on thinking about Scarlett's little Morgan McMichaels moment.
But she didn't have a Morgan McMichael moment.
She said it aloud, but she didn't act upon it.
Yeah.
But
this is Scarlett. Scarlett said that she was in the strongest home, but when it came to it, she went on track record.
It sowed enough of a seed of doubt, it seemed, in Hannah's mind. Now, when we come back into the room, though, Hannah talks about, like, I want to feel comfortable with the people here.
I want to make this a harmony and a lovely space to be.
The implication being that Scarlett disrupts that harmony, right? Disrupts that lovely space. And Scarlett seems to be sitting there going, okay, I know what you're saying.
Is something not making the edit? Is the core not connected? Are we missing something here?
What I've said about Scarlett a couple of times, and this may be very, very different when the cameras are off, but I still feel sometimes like I've not met Scarlett, and that I've met the persona that she chooses to project to the world, and that's her right to do so. She doesn't have to let us in at all, but I wonder if sometimes the other girls might feel that.
I need to know more, because Scarlett didn't disagree.
She didn't turn it into an argument.
So there must be some truth about what Hannah is saying. So I need to know more. I am confused. I'm lost and confused. I have to.
You tried to smile from within. When you realized these women were men.
The way Alyssa says it, like she just came up with the most genius line ever.
It's the same energy that she has when writing for her roast.
Oh, God.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl. Oh, I can't say that, girl. Oh, that's too much, girl. Oh.
Santino Rice. What was it?
Shut the fuck up with your no drag knowledge mouth.
She was
rubbing her hands with glee.
Oh, God.
What an icon.
She's iconic.
So what I will say is that based on track record, Charitza was the correct choice.
Yeah.
So Hannah is definitely going with more feeling here. Do you think Hannah was actually trying to get rid of a stronger competitor? Because that's the implication.
No, I think Hannah doesn't like Scarlett. I think Hannah just didn't like Scarlett.
I think that's what it is.
You know why I think that? Because she basically said that.
She said,
I want to go forward with a group of people that I feel really comfortable with, because I want to make this a harmony and a lovely space to be. Yeah.
And I love how she put a positive spin on it. She was like, so that was a healing moment.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
I feel better.
Sugar Khan.
I'm sure you feel better, Scarlett. Yeah. You must do, because I feel better.
Scarlett. Oh, my God. I'm glad we had this talk. So glad we had this talk, Scarlett. Oh, my God. I know that we both feel better for it.
Oh, it's so beautiful to bond like this, isn't it?
Let's de-drag now. So this week's Maxi Challenge, okay, they have to give a wedding speech, and it's a roast. It's a roast.
Yes. It is basically a roast, and It's implied that it's focused mainly on Graham and Michelle. We've had a roast of Michelle before. We've not had a roast of Graham.
No.
I love Graham
Norton. Michelle was the first non-RuPaul roast, yeah, too.
That's why Alexis Michelle wore her favorite color, girl.
I'll go last and I'll let them recreate.
Close out the show, mama.
Give me your top, just on the fly, off the cuff, Tom, give me your top three reads from the Michelle roast.
Oh, from the Michelle roast.
Not since Destiny's Child.
Oh, that was a good one.
Has Michelle become so famous from writing off someone else's coattails?
Who said that one?
Peppermint.
That was very good. Peppermint won that one, didn't she?
Hands down, she deserved it.
The best one was Michelle Visage. After all the weight you've lost, one part of your body has got bigger. It's a Hanukkah miracle.
Boris Koshian, what is it?
I don't know what she said. I'm ill-cultured, unfortunately.
So was I. I just made sounds. I'm sorry.
I know, you're offensive. you are offensive.
Who else? Let's think about Trinity Tuck.
No, Trinity Fell. Oh, what was Valentina's one? Where she was like...
I don't know what that was.
I liked how she kept calling her Michelle.
Michelle. I think it was a roast of everyone. I remember...
I actually liked a lot of Sasha Velour's. Michelle Visage is so Jersey. I can't remember it now, though. There's me saying that I liked it. I remember liking Sasha Velour.
You can take the girl out of Jersey, but you can't stop the Jersey giving hand jobs on the something something.
That was Alaska in the roast of RuPaul.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I was roasting Michelle.
You can take the girl out of Jersey, but you can't stop her from giving blowjobs to homeless guys along the New Jersey Turnpike.
Oh, what was the... She likes war sports. X the something so something team. Was there
that was our icon, Alexis Michelle.
Alexis Michelle.
She slept with the water polo team.
Yeah.
Sasha Velour said something like, Michelle Visage is so Jersey. She thinks Lisa is classical music.
Okay.
I don't know why she also sounds a last.
Anyway.
Anyway, we couldn't remember any of those jokes, could we?
No, could we? But we remember how we felt.
We remember how we
when
felt.
When we experienced that moment.
Our feelings are facts.
Yes. So, Hannah, you're well within your rights to pull that lipstick, aren't you? None of these girls have ever done a roast on TV.
They haven't. There's been a few in the UK, not in Tia's season. Not in Hannah's season of they did do a stand-up comedy bit that wasn't a roast in Hannah's, though. Remember, it was more of a hosting gig.
Yes,
Hannah was with Molly.
Yep.
Queen Kong with Minnie. That's the closest any of these girls have come to it, I think.
Who do we think is going to do well anyway, just going off these queens?
Hannah,
I think,
and Tia.
Hannah's going to do well.
Tia's
going to do
Tia's
well.
She's funny, she can write jokes.
Scarlet Envy?
Potentially, yeah. I think so. I think Scarlet is going to do at least okay.
Okay.
And she might surprise me and do better than okay.
Marina?
It's Marina and Le Grand Dame that I'm potentially most worried about. And one thing I will say is, again, this being such an international season with these amazing, beautiful international queens, I do wonder about the translatability of comedy in a cultural linguistic sense.
There's
too many words, wasn't
there? That was linguistics gymnastics right there.
Yeah, there's too many words, sorry.
I love that Le Grand Dame's like, oh, that's not part of our culture, roasting. I was like, but you're French. It's like, you know the way that you speak normally? Yeah, that's roasting.
That's roasting.
She's like, oh. Okay. She doesn't know that what roasting is, does she? Because the French do it naturally.
Uh-huh.
It is. Marina, it would be an upset if she went home this week. What do you think? Do you think it would happen?
So, she really strongly does not identify as a comedy queen. But she's a hard worker. I think she can write a few jokes. She was fine in Snatch Game. I don't see anybody having the courage or the inclination to Jimbo or Pangina her at this point, or Manila her. Do you think anybody really will?
Do you think anyone would have sent home Pangina? Seriously? Besides,
Blue Hydrangea.
Bag of Chips. She would have sent home Pangina out of spite.
Going for her.
But do you think anyone else would have?
What, in UK versus the World 1?
Yeah.
I mean, Blue did.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't you think that this could happen here?
I'm trying to think of the dynamics with these girls. So in UK versus the World One, the precedent was set by Pangina herself early on that it was okay to send home a front runner.
Okay.
Yeah. That precedent has not been set here. The eliminations week on week have been largely safe.
And until Hannah.
Yes, Hannah is the first to deviate, and Scarlett is the only one who's voiced that she would do it. So who knows? But I don't see it happening. Rue loves her. She's got three badges. These girls have seen what happens when there's a fan backlash, and I think they're too smart to do it.
Not even for £50,000? Like, Blue Hydrangea, she did that for a verse. She did that for a song that no one's really heard of, really. Let's be honest. She did that for a song with RuPaul that she's probably taken her back off and made it a complete single, RuPaul. This is £50,000 now. Do you think? And Marina is... Like, if I was in that room, Marina's the winner. Would I send her home if I could so that I have a fighting chance? I don't know.
It's one of those. You got to think about the long game. You got to think about what it does for your career, I think. Do you want the £50,000 or do you want to invest in fan favorite status? You know? Yeah. And do you solidify the latter by sending home somebody who you think is actually going to be quite popular with the fans and who Rue loves and is probably setting up to be a winner?
Yeah. And it was also, more importantly, was born to do drag.
Born to do drag in the very, very exclusive club.
Well, I don't think that'll happen either. You're right. We've made it all the way to the actual roast.
Have we? Is that why I feel warm?
Yes.
See, I did a little joke there.
Oh my God, look at you. You are a roast, eh? Put an apple in your mouth, you'll fit right in. Oink, oink, Tom. Tom, surely you got that.
Keep up. Cancel you.
Keep up. Keep up. Hi, I set the bar. Come meet me up here.
Body shaming me.
So we've just, I think, is there anything in the workroom that we missed up? I mean, Hannah won the mini challenge, so Hannah got to set the order. She put herself first. She was really fair. She actually listened to everyone. It's very Commonwealth. It's a very equal opportunity. Mm. It was.
I'm not sure if the Commonwealth was about equal opportunity.
Tom, there we go. I'm part of the Commonwealth. It's very equal. Okay. Very equal.
I'll defer to you. I think she's pretty lucky that actually people wanted different things and she could accommodate everybody. But it was nice because she didn't look like she was out to sabotage any, because she could have messed things up for people. But she didn't. She accommodated everyone. Probably had in mind just wanting to do a good lineup and do a good show.
She was like, as long as I get what I want, you guys can have whatever. I'm not threatened by you this week, Marina. I mean... trust and believe, girl, you're not on my radar.
As a confident comedian, she was happy to go first.
Yeah.
And Tia, the other more confident comedian, wanted to close out the show, let them in. And there we go, everybody else is in between, really.
Yeah. La Grande Dame is second, after her is Marina. Mm-hmm. And then Scarlet Envy.
They had a little session with Catherine Ryan, but we could probably blend in elements of that when we talk about them one by one. Little workroom moment with Hannah. It feels like a bit of a Hannah-centric episode, actually.
Yeah, what all happened?
Well, she just spoke really about how challenging she found her own season of Down Under, season two. This didn't come across in the edit, because I think she came across as a happy-go-lucky queen who was always up for a laugh. But it seems like she felt quite deeply misunderstood. And I think I did read in an interview or something that she kind of resented the "you're perfect with no vulnerability" edit that she did kind of get. So she felt misunderstood, and I get that. And spoke, made me sad to hear about her speak about feeling somewhat overshadowed in meet and greets and stuff afterwards. Because we've always loved Hannah, so I can't really understand that.
Well, I can understand that, because a lot of people don't watch
Down Under.
Down Under. Well, yeah. A lot of people, first of all, don't watch series that are outside of the US, the main series, do they? If there was a hierarchy, it would be, in my opinion, Drag Race, the US season, then Canada, slash UK.
And then it's kind of...
And then everyone else kind of just falls really...
Depending on people's individual interests.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on whether people have a connection with it, whether people are super, super fans, they just can't get enough. A lot of people don't venture that far away from the main three.
They're also the only ones who have their versus the world seasons and stuff, aren't they? Although, you know, Espana's catching up there because they had their own All-Stars recently.
So I think that's what it is. It's just that, yeah, I think that won't happen now because... Drag Race UK versus the World is a bit more up there, so she is being exposed now to a much wider audience of people.
I think the beauty of versus the World is that hopefully fans from different countries who have their own Drag Race branches all over the world will be like, oh, you know, French people are like, I love La Grande Dame, I love her from season one, I'm going to watch UK versus the World too. And then they'll discover Marina, Hannah, and all these other wonderful queens. But it's lovely to hear that Hannah feels...
Mayhem will be one of them, hopefully.
Yes. Don't be silly, Mayhem's not watching. She's hanging out with Raven somewhere.
She filmed her part, she did her gig, and left. She's like, no, I need to see it.
One thing, I do love it when they bring the eliminated queens back as the audience for a roast and they've not done that.
Oh, that you're right.
I do love it when they do that. It's another opportunity to see them. There's no reason why they shouldn't do it. They usually have fab outfit anyway. But Hannah says she's relaxing into it and having a great time this time around. So that's lovely to hear. They all have a lovely cuddle.
I just want to know their interview. You know, so many people got there. I had the worst edit. They twisted my words. They made me do this. And, you know, they made me sound hateful. And hers is, they just made me sound very perfect. And I'm just, I'm really upset about it.
I do get it.
Fifi O'Hara is just literally screaming. The vixen is screaming right now. The people out there are like, really? Your edit was that you were perfect? Please. And you're coming out here playing the victim in these interviews?
Please don't be up in here invalidating Miss Conda. Okay. however, she is up first in the roast, and we have just seen it. What were your thoughts?
This is her bread and butter. This did not look like a challenge. It just looked like Hannah being Hannah, which is fun.
Yep.
Which is, you know, natural, which is funny, which is a host. She can hold a group, she can hold her own, she can hold an audience.
Yep.
People just love to listen to her. And she's flipping funny. She's funny. She knows the jokes. She knows humor.
She's fantastic. I like how she brought that kind of classic Aussie coarseness. I say that with love. I'd expect an Aussie queen to be a bit brash, a bit coarse, to use a little bit of bad language. And she did that. She was very funny. This was a really strong start. Rue was laughing along. That must have been music to her ears. I thought she did a great job. Any particular jokes that stood out for you?
I love the Kentucky Derby.
That was a funny one, yes.
I love the Kentucky Derby one with Marina because of her teeth.
Yeah, and also Scarlett, the assault on her face. Yes.
The makeup brush is not a weapon.
That was funny. One thing I would like to say about Scarlett is, like, she always looks gorgeous because she's got good bones. She's got a great face for drag. I personally prefer her makeup from All-Star 6 to her current style of makeup. It's quite different.
Okay.
Just my observation, everyone, just my preference.
MUA and Doctor.
It's been said many times.
It's Dr. Tom, PhD, MUA.
Go on.
What's the BSF?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just name just a few. Thank you. We don't need to read off my CV.
Bachelor of Fashion and Art.
I actually think it's in the eyebrow placement. I'm not going to go on about it, but she draws her eyebrows somewhat away from the starting point of her natural brows now, where she used to use her natural, which I always think, here's me talking like I know anything about makeup, but she used to use the starting point of her natural brows as the starting point of her brows, but obviously, you know, take them up and high. And I always think there's something more flattering and a bit natural about that.
Has this happened post-COVID? You see her eyebrows are social distancing. Tom, is that what you're saying?
Maybe they're just retreating.
Does someone want to tell her eyebrows that COVID's not here anymore?
They're retreating.
We're walking with the people again.
Interestingly, I did see her slip back into her old style of makeup for one of the challenges, one of the comedy challenges.
Hmm,
anyway, okay. She probably just likes to play with the two different ones. It's by the by. Very strong start from Hannah. Well done.
She wasn't afraid to go there as well. Mm. You're right. There was elements of crudeness, which is very Aussie. It's just very so Aussie. Aussie.
Yeah.
It's just in your face. Ha, ha, ha. And it really is that. One thing is that I felt like there was a lot of reliance on the notes.
I did see that. That was my one little critique of her in an otherwise really fantastic set.
I mean, a lot of the times when they are doing roasts, they have a, what do you call it? Like when you're, there's like a, that big...
teleprompter.
No, they have like a plinth and they can put, where you put your book on.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Plinth.
A plinth.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What do you call that plinth thing where you put the things
on? It's kind of like a plinth.
Yeah. usually they have that, and so you can usually cheat that because you're just, like sometimes your eyes can just do a quick down. Mm-hmm, but because her notes are on the table, she had to do a full head flip. And there so it was very noticeable, the up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Well, production should have helped the girls a bit better there with the stage setup and given them an opportunity to go up.
Podium.
An opportunity to go up to a podium.
Something I should know about.
Yes, darling, yes. Yeah. I do think she maintained her flow and her connection.
Oh,
and
yeah. Everything,
but I did notice, and you know, when you're wearing false lashes, it's really obvious, isn't it? And that endearing cackle of hers really punctuated everything.
It's very Hannah. Very Hannah. Loved it. She was great. La Grande Dame, you know what? First of all,
yeah,
she's just so pretty.
She's so pretty. I'm like, loving this red floral motif.
Yeah.
She looks really classy.
Like, when you're that hot, like, you don't need to be funny. And I think she believes that too, because her roast proof.
Well,
sorry.
Just thinking about the fashion prompt here, I think they're either told bridesmaid or mother of the bride, looking at the girls, right? Looking at the lineup.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway. I want us to start on a positive. Pick out your favorite La Grande Dame joke.
Okay. I really liked the whole Googling Catherine and Paige not found. I thought that joke would have been so much funnier if she delivered it.
Committed to it.
Differently. Mm. I know that the gist of the joke was, you know, I couldn't find you. Paige not found. I just felt like the actual joke just... It could have been better.
I think her best delivered joke was, this competition is about lifting each other up. That's why Hannah is something, something. We just couldn't lift the bitch up. Like that, she delivered it like in a funny, nonchalant way.
Yeah.
And she actually got everybody, including Hannah, laughing there. So there were some jokes in there. Was not joke free. In fact, I thought she wrote a lot of jokes. That she just, there was something in the delivery and the commitment, and some of them just, the punchline wasn't quite there, that meant that it wasn't the best roast I've ever seen. But she looks beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, let's remember that English is not her first language.
Absolutely.
And first of all, just translating your thoughts in English is one thing. Translating humor that is culturally one funny in one way, finding out where to make that, you know, funny in another culture. Again, that's another skill. I think that her and Marina, props to them for taking on something
absolutely.
Like this. This is a huge challenge. Okay. And cool. Having said that, some of her jokes just did not land at all.
They might have been funnier in French.
Well, that's it.
You know, but there we go. We'll never know. She did take some of Catherine's feedback. She told her to avoid the C word and replace it with the T word, which didn't quite land either. But she gave this a lot of thought. She put in a lot of effort. There were some laughs in there.
Do you know the way that she delivered the Hannah joke? This shows about lift people up. That's why we couldn't lift Hannah up. That's why the Hannah doesn't ever win. We couldn't lift the bitch up. It was so just real and genuine and natural. And
it was. Felt like it was her best delivered.
That was her best delivered. And I felt like if she carried that throughout, I think everything else could have been better. It wouldn't have saved some of the jokes, but at least it wouldn't have made it so, you know, robotic and just trying to be funny as opposed to just naturally falling into it the way she did there.
Like when we saw those glimmers of her real personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we love.
That's what I was thinking. Yes, LeGrand, I think LeGrand definitely struggled here. Talk to me about Marina Summers.
Marina fell in the middle of the pack and she felt as though she was better prepared than Le Grand Dame and she had more laughs in there, but not near Hannah's level. You know, I guess we're going through now and I have the ability to compare them as we go along. She did have some funny bits. I'm actually having to look at my notes for them, though, and that might be quite telling. I did notice that she fell back on the look and Mabuhay to kind of keep a bit of energy and momentum and humour going, which is good. She's got a crutch to lean on.
Yeah. I think, first of all, it was very short.
It was short.
It was very short. And I do like that, you know, I think she had jokes. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? I think that was a Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine Ryan.
Catherine. I think Catherine gave her a really good amount of confidence coming into this. I think that she was feeling a bit deflated, you know, with comedy. Yeah. And I feel like she definitely injected a bit of confidence in her leading up to this. And I wonder if that was a prompt. I wonder if they're like, you need to just tell her that she's doing good. You know, you fake it till you make it. Because I think that she definitely delivered it. With confidence. She came in with confidence.
So, just going with your theory then, you feel like Catherine was told by the production team, give her a bit of confidence and let her kind of roll with it, we'll do the rest. Because there weren't loads of laughs from the judges. And there were a few confused looks.
Yeah, it was... I mean, the Mabuhay... I love the gist of that joke, long live. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that it could have, if it was delivered differently, it could have been a bit funnier and not too, like, in-your-face obvious. I know what you're trying to say, like, ha-ha. Mm-hmm. And then the whole, there are just a lot of the very obvious setups
that
we've
fruit.
Seen. Yeah, which that we've just seen and heard a million times. There was nothing new here. The look that she brought in, I thought that was cute. And I wonder, would it have been better had she started with that?
I quite like how she used it because it's quite endearing. It was very kind of like a toddler being like, remember, you think I'm cute and you like me, so be kind. There's something kind of like childlike and endearing about it.
There is that. There is that too. And then it was a very confident performance.
And I'm glad that she maintained that confidence because we always say never let them see you sweat. It does go a long way and puts her in a safer position than Le Grand Dame, I would say. I thought her start was quite strong. She was quite funny when she was like, looks like I'm not the one who's struggling most with the English language. So that was funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, out of three at the moment, she's in second place.
It's not much of a parody. Award. Give these awards later, Tom, please. It was a good effort. Yeah, it was a good effort, just not there. Oh, Scarlet Envy. I just want to say everyone needs a bit of that confidence. If there's something that was powerful about her performance, it was her delivery, it was her conviction. It was just, I think, her confidence.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Even if they weren't jokes, she delivered it amazingly well.
The thing is, they were jokes.
Yeah, thank
you. And it was a weirdly dry response,
yeah.
I think. I was chuckling with Scarlett. I thought she
I think
had...
we both were, and I think while we were chuckling, there were like awkward looks on the screen. I was like, that was funny.
I think it helped me to be writing my notes and listening to her and looking up intermittently because I was missing all the stupid production, let's cut to a serious face stuff. Would you agree with me? Are we on the same page here?
I'd expect now a hold your peace and she went and grabbed her dick. I thought
that was a joke. That was funny.
Shut up the ass and an injection. I thought that was amazing.
It was goofy.
I thought that was really good. I'm like,
it reminds me of League of Gentlemen when Pauline says, "What did she say?" I'm sorry, it's completely left my head, so I'll forget it. But it's the delivery just reminded me of something. But she was really, really good. I thought really, really good. No, she wasn't as good as Hannah, but she was good, and there were laughs in there, and it was, there was a weird edit, and they're trying to tell us what to think, and it's annoying me.
Yeah, I liked Scarlett.
I loved her look. Her look was the most authentically kind of 80s bridesmaid in a... Like, you could tell it's one of those dresses, like, the brief was make it an ugly bridesmaid dress, but it was cute. I liked it. I liked the rosettes. I liked the lame. I love, like, a boofy, mullety 80s wig.
I love the whole maid of honor. Didn't hear no friends. It was a good star. Yeah. The delivery was great. I thought that she did a, I think she did a good job. And even if there were non-jokes in there, I do want to think that her delivery and her hosting skills was great, as well as what she was delivering. It was how she was delivering. I thought that she was funny.
Oh, I remember the joke was, sorry. In League of Gentlemen, Pauline's this lady who's obsessed with pens. And she says, people have been stealing my pens, Pauline's pens. If they keep doing that, I shall have to start chaining them to the tables. And the pens. And then nobody laughs and she goes, it's a joke, Ross. Don't crack your face.
Yeah. I think she's coming. In my books, she's second.
We got she is
one
right
more.
Now.
Yeah, we've got one more to see, and that's Tea or Coffee. Tea or Coffee, congratulations very, very on a good. Potential win.
Yes, she was fab. This was her in her element, I think. And I think this is the purest form of Tia's talent that we've seen so far. I think she should do this all the time. This was just very, very good.
Absolutely. From beginning to end, I don't think there was any dead space.
Yeah.
Her comedic timing was amazing. Mm-hmm. She had joke after joke.
Yep.
I mean, and she had my favorite ones. The ones that just are just like out of nowhere, like, what the hell? Like, RuPaul, was like a layered joke. It was like, RuPaul, you remind me of my mom. She's dead. When I go, I hope it's instant.
Yeah, it's very
and that was it. I just thought, oh my God,
she's very good with like punny dad jokes.
Yeah.
But like blended it in a way that made sense as a roast. I just thought she was fab. I loved the Spice Girls thing. That was really, really good. I like, she's very good at nonsense jokes and non-sequiturs and surrealism as well. And at the end, she was like, I never did explain why I brought a trombone. Then it's just like ended. Good night.
Exactly. For some reason, I chuckled a lot at the whole Michelle Visage, which translates to Michael Face.
It's very good. It's a silly joke.
It was just really silly.
Yeah.
Maybe her humor plays more to our humor, which is why I think that we really enjoyed it.
I think she's really British in her humor.
Oh, is this what it is?
I think so. Oh, okay. I think so. I think she would not be out of place on a lot of mainstream British TV shows. And I hope she gets more opportunities like that after this. I think it was really, really good.
Outside of the comedy, her delivery, her performance as a host was just spectacular.
Yeah.
It was just, this is her thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is her thing. This is what she does. She knows how to be funny. She knows how to hold space. She knows how to hold a room. And I think she had everyone at the tips of her fingers. She had us.
She's fantastically well. I think that I have a really, really clear outcome. To outcome, why can't I talk? I think I have really results.
Come on.
Use
your words.
I've had some sort of brain fart. I can't anymore. I've
got a good
really
idea on your tops and bottoms. Yep.
Yes, thank you. I mean, we've not seen the runway yet, and we can see how that can impact it. But would you like to? I think we're on the same page.
For me, the top two was Hannah and Tia. Absolutely.
That's indisputable.
Everyone else is going to be in the bottom.
They're going
to
do.
It has to be. There's only three left.
They're going to do the old, now that it's a semi-final, if you're not in the top, you're in the bottom. So they're doing this to screw over Scarlett, and I can see it coming. Because Scarlett should be safe.
Yeah, the bottom, if there was a bottom two, it's Marina.
And Le Grand
Dame. If there's a bottom one, it's Le Grand Dame.
If there's one person in a room.
It's Le Grand Dame.
I'm a Le Grand Dame fan, but also she's in the bottom.
Yeah.
But
they've been protecting her.
They might.
Do you have a treaty? Does the UK have a treaty with France? Is there some reason she's
I think
just...
it's just because she's a bit fab and likable and charismatic. But she, it, for numerous reasons, she's not... Her humour has not translated to the comedy challenges. Now, we've made our own opinions clear, but I want to be clear about what I think is going on in production as well. I think they're trying to screw over Scarlett. It's possible they'll have a bottom two and Marina will be safe.
Okay.
Scarlett does not have the wins and tops that La Grande Dame has. And Scarlett won't be going through.
That would be unfortunate and sad because I do think it's La Grande Dame's time tonight.
La Grande Dame had such a strong start to the season and there's so many things that she's good at, but the trajectory has been dropping and I adore her. She's a feast for the eye. She's very likable. Scarlett did not do badly enough to be in a bottom two today.
Agreed. This is the portion of the podcast where we talk about fashion.
We discuss aspects of fashion such as what is it, why is it, and when is it?
But more importantly, who?
Well, we're going to find out. Who? So the first person to embody fashion is Hannah Conda.
What is the category?
The category is very appropriately Take Me Up the Aisle. So
yeah, very appropriately. Yes. Take Me Up the Aisle.
I know, right? Oh, gosh, it's naughty. Hannah comes out wearing really quite a very beautiful and quite traditional bridal look. In the sense that I could see a very glamorous bride wearing this in real life. So lovely off-the-shoulder number, big voluminous skirt, lovely embroidery on it. And she just looks like $1 million. She looks great.
It's giving me traditional.
Yeah, it's not giving... like some big high concept look.
Mm. Yeah, it's giving me Married at First Sight Australia, which we're in love with at the moment.
It's an absolutely... unhinged program.
Lucinda is just...
Oh, Lucinda's like an angel among...
And she is the marriage celebrant. Yes. She should be here.
She really should.
Marrying everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
With
thank
her,
you.
Her lovely dulcet tones. She would be traversing and she, journeying alongside
exactly.
The
she holds a lantern of hope.
She holds a lantern of hope.
For each of these couples.
She really does.
She really does. Yes. No, this is a gorgeous look and her makeup is flawless.
She just always really beautiful. You can tell she feels beautiful in it as well, and so she should.
Next up is La Grande Dame. I just was like, what? When she walked down, I'm like, what?
Talking
like,
about
how? Like, what the hell is this? How are you so fashion?
If ever there was a look that potentially could bump somebody out the bottom two, it's this. Not that I think it should, but she just looks amazing. This is a high concept, futuristic look. I don't know who this is made by. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a Kevin Chamanier piece, but I just don't know. I don't know for sure. Like the way she's used this kind of like lemon yellow or like this uranium yellow, I think, because she's going for like this radioactive theme. It's just fantastic. The billows of tulle on the fishtail and the sleeves and just the intricacy of the bodice and the cutout and this very, very detailed mask. It just all adds up to an absolute feast for the eyes. And she just looks fashion forward and beautiful.
This is a bang, bang shoot.
This is a shoot.
Absolute a shoot. Just wow.
Next up, we have Marina, who really stands out among the kind of white or pastel shades with a traditional Filipina bridal look from the Yukan tribe. And I just love it when people bring their culture to the stage. She looks really, really beautiful. I love these gorgeous prints, the headpiece. The very, very delicate symbols on her face just looks absolutely fantastic.
I love the colour.
Yeah, yeah. She really stands out, doesn't
because
she?
White is a very Western bridal thing outside. A
relatively recent Western bridal thing as well.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it when I see other cultures and it's colour. India, even some of the Polynesians. And now the Asia is just beautiful. I love color. The more color, the better for me, just for me and my life and what I love, Tom.
Beautiful, love. Beautiful look.
But this is gorgeous. It's really very lovely. Gorgeous.
I really like Scarlett's look this week. Now, Scarlett, I think all season has served a lot of like camp meets fashion. She's always very referential. Most of her looks have been some sort of reference or other, really. And this week she's giving us Las Vegas Elvis. We've seen Elvis referenced a few times on the runway, but I think this is a particularly beautifully fitting version of the suit. She's in white and gold. She's got a bouquet. I do love the kind of masculine meets feminine androgynous element. She's really dragged it up.
Is she serving drag king?
I don't think you could say this is a drag king look, although I'm sure that's open to interpretation.
The reason that I say this, everyone, if you listen to the podcast tomorrow, we are going to talk about the topical topic, which is we're going to be looking at the drag kings on Drag Race, the bait, as made famous as of recent by Nacia Lopez and Roscoe's. Listen to what we think about it tomorrow. We'll talk about it on the Drag Race season 16.
I love how you're setting it up like it's like, guys, all you need to know will be revealed tomorrow. Yeah. We're going to put this debate to rest.
Yes.
Okay.
You've been dying to know what we think about it, and we are delivering tomorrow.
We will be having the final say on this topic. But I think this is a gorgeous look. This is a great runway so far, actually. Everybody looks up. And actually, Tia just closes it out beautifully. This is very, very different for Tia Coffee. This is another really quite avant-garde, fashion-forward look. So she's presenting a whole kind of alien piece, complete with pregnant belly and this gorgeous sculpted hair. Overall, I love the kind of, it's very clearly a bridal look with the lace and with the tulle, but the silhouette is just really avant-garde. I particularly like the big exaggerated hip panniers. To me, it's giving Alexander McQueen's Plato's Atlantis collection, just in terms of silhouette and mood. Not that this is an actual copy of any of those looks, but could very well fit in as the bridal end piece, you know. So she looks like $1 million. She looks great. Everybody looks so fantastic on their own way this week.
She does look amazing. Tia, you look amazing. The whole season, you've looked amazing. I have a question for you.
Please.
With Tia. Mm. If I was to ask you to describe me, Tia's drag,
yep,
what would it be?
So if you'd asked me on season 2 UK, I'd have said camp. And I would have been quite happy with that answer. I get where you're coming from, because I think in her elevation this season, there's less of a distinct mood to her runways. Yep. Like, I could tell you, Hannah gives you like polished with a little camp twist. Le Grand Dame gives me fashion runway avant-garde every episode. Marina gives us this like pocket rocket glamour with a kind of Filipina cultural twist, and Scarlett gives us references, really, I think, and like little camp pop cultural nods. Tia, it's less clear. Yeah. She looks great, but I couldn't tell you what the mood is. Yeah.
And that's one thing that gets lost on me with Tia, is that I love the elevation, mm-hmm. but through her drag, it just seems to me that she's gone to, or a lot of people have given her all these amazing outfits. She's just been such an amazing coat hanger.
She's actually a beautiful model.
Of course. Look at that. She's got length. She's got size. She's got
length.
She's got it. She's got it all. I just can't tell what her drag is.
Yeah.
From there. But we know what she is as a hostess, as a personality.
That's it. Because her persona, and actually I'd say her personality, is so distinct. And we know her comedy. Yeah. We get her. We know who she is as a person. But yeah, I think she's exploring. She's got budget. She's got a platform. She's exploring fashion, I think. And, you know, she does look beautiful, but I do agree with you. There's a sense of identity.
Yeah, that's lacking.
Yeah. Like, so, I always thought that about Jan on season 12.
I was literally just going to say, she's giving me Jan. Jan had all these amazing outfits, but it was just like, but who was Jan?
So nothing about this runway is sufficient to change my mind, because it rarely is. I do think Hannah and Tia are our top two of the week. Do any of the other three... Because everybody looks great. Le Grand Dame does look exceptional, but she did perform the worst.
Yeah. Le Grand Dame, you should be grateful to be sent home in this outfit. Mm. Yeah? You've done your bit. The right person to go home, in my opinion, is Le Grand Dame.
If she was not the the least good in the challenge, and she was like the second least good. I would be happy if this to bump her up to safe.
No,
but she was the absolute
it's her time.
Least good. Yeah.
Just that we see the top two, who are lip syncing right now as we speak,
is Hannah and Tia. They couldn't have been anybody else.
Yep, and then everyone else is in the bottom.
As you predicted.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you for that.
Very
Thank
welcome.
You for your insights there. We do keep you around for a reason.
Unagi.
It is unagi.
It's unagi.
You do hey? Channel the unagi. Now, quite an interesting elimination episode, because I don't think things are super duper clear cut, and I think it could go a couple of different ways. One thing I do believe is you can't send Marina home at this point. Her track record's too strong. She stumbled 1 week. I think both girls here know that that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think, if you're in their position, Scarlett or La Grande Dame, who's going home?
La Grande Dame.
Do you know, on paper, Scarlett has a worse track record? Because I just quickly double checked it.
Okay, cool.
cool work. Story, bro.
La Grande Dame was saved 2 times. She was saved last week. Mm-hmm. She was saved for the snitch from the snitch game. She was saved. I'm sorry. This is La Grande Dame's time. She hasn't officially been in the bottom, but she absolutely has been bottom.
The other aspect of it is that I don't think Scarlett should be in the bottom this week.
Yeah.
So I adore La Grande Dame, but my conscience dictates that Scarlett should stay.
Scarlett should also not have been in the bottom last week.
Now, the other fact that I think comes into it is I don't think there's hints that the girls aren't quite as strongly bonded to Scarlett.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Hannah told her quite clearly she disrupted her harmony. You know, I don't know if you can come back from that.
I mean, let's look over the lip sync.
Yes.
The lip sync, the winner, it's a very, very obvious winner, and it's Hannah Conda. And Hannah, just a stronger mover.
Yeah.
Full stop. She knows how to move. She knows how to move her body. She's in control of her limbs, and she's not just flinging it around awkwardly. She has rhythm. She has movement. I love the fans that she brought out.
Very
I really
pretty.
Do.
Very
I
pretty.
Just wish that she had a bit more choreography with it than just flinging it up and down. Into the, I wish there was a bit more. Do you remember when we saw Marina's talent show where she had that? She kept us interested. I just felt like it very quickly got a little boring. And I was just like, come on, do something else, do something else. But, you know, it was still good enough. I loved the performance. She won hands down.
I think she's super pretty in that black hair as well.
Yeah.
You don't see her in dark hair very often.
Tia, girl, I don't know what you were doing on that stage. I love you. I really love you. I don't know what you were doing.
There was a concept. It was something to do with a tribute to the her fallen comrades. Like, she had like a shamrock for Jomba's blonde, she had something for Gothy Kendall, and she had something for Charitha May. It didn't translate for me. The only bit I got right, that's a shamrock, that's 100% Jomba's.
It was cringe, but I love you, Tia. And I love your spirit, and I love that you thought that this would be amazing. Sure. I thought that you could communicate this in a lip sync.
Do you know, a personal challenge that I experienced during this lip sync was trying to figure out if Tia was being serious or not. I just couldn't figure it out.
Tia's just not a mover. She's just not a natural mover.
Bless her. Her coordination is.
But yeah,
and not top tier.
But she, what we have found her power this week. Her power is in her performance and other ways,
comedy,
not dancing. Yeah, it's 100%. In hosting. It's in comedy, and But Hannah's definitely won this lip sync. I have a feeling that she's definitely got Scarlett's lipstick.
She got the opportunity to do what she wanted to do last week.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Let's see. All right. Hannah won the lip sync, and she sent home
Scarlett. Yeah, that's it. That's the way the cookie crumbles,
and it is her right to do so.
It's her decision. There were complexities to this. I, like I said, on paper, technically, Scarlett does have the worst track record, according to the judgment of the other judges, as we call them.
Yes.
We do feel that La Grande Dame has been rescued a couple of times. Strong start to the season, has lost momentum a little bit. But there we go. We have our top four, and there's such a fabulous bunch of queens. My heart does break a little bit for Scarlett, because this is like her third time round, and she was tantalizingly close to the finale after a couple of, you know, mid-season exits.
Hannah's decision, Tom, was it?
It was personal.
Or is it?
It's
just
not personal.
Drag?
It's drag.
It was personal. Girl. It was personal. Hannah was like, I don't like you. And if I don't like you, I don't like you.
And I don't like you.
The way you're looking in my direction. She really was like, the lipstick I have is a girl who I don't really like. She does not bring harmony to the workroom.
No, not the harmony.
I don't want her in our space moving forward.
Do you think she was channeling Lucinda as like, I need to create a space of harmony and loveliness going forward?
Hannah.
Tough decision to make. She had to make a decision. There may have been personal elements. We may find out, because it looks like there's a reunion next week, which we'll very much look forward to. And we're going to have an international winner crowned. Think back. Doesn't this roughly line up with our predictions?
I don't know.
We knew Hannah and Marina were going far, and I'm sure we said
La Grande Dame.
And of the UK girls, Tia had the best shot.
Okay.
Let's just say we predicted it entirely correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, everyone.
Sure, we got it.
Thanks for recognising our talent.
I think we did say Scarlet Envy, which I feel that she should have been in the top, but it is what it is.
She was an alternate.
This is a lovely show. It's reality TV, but it's not really reality TV.
That's deep, Bella.
Yeah, thank you. Let it be written. Everyone, write it down, get it tattooed. merch coming out. You're welcome. So that's it.
Mm-hmm.
A few more episodes, but you still have season 16 coming up very soon.
Which is probably going to go on for about 10 more weeks.
Really?
Yeah. No. the look in your eyes then.
God. No, we love it.
We have got a few more weeks of season, we'll be recording that quite soon, actually.
So, this is Bowler.
And Dr. Tom.
See you guys very soon.
Lots of love, guys. See you soon.